97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy that you're with us on this Tuesday morning. We have a little experiment going on down here at the radio station this morning. I just have to tell you that because of our ridiculous ban on Facebook right now, we have gotten the show up live on a platform called Rumble. Many of you are familiar with it. If you are not, it is a streaming platform that a lot of people are members of. There's lots of podcasts and other shows on Rumble, and you have an opportunity to go there and watch the show. If you've normally watched it on Facebook, you can go to rumble.com. You don't even have to sign in. You can type in the Mark Cox Morning Show, and it'll pop up there.
That's what you need to do.
And you can watch the show. If you want to comment, there is a comment, a chat area there. You do have to create an account and sign in. But other than that, you do not. So we decided to try this. So we had an alternative to Facebook, who has bots that randomly shut you down, or they take us offline because we played a song for 10 seconds too long that they didn't think we had a right to play, which is nonsense because we are a broadcast radio station and we pay all those fees. So that's the kind of nonsense you deal with Facebook. Hopefully we can avoid all that. And we'd love to have you join us on Rumble. If you'd like to watch the show live, you can also watch on X, and you can download the Odyssey app and stream it there as well, if that makes it easier for you. However you get here, we appreciate it. And of course, we podcast every segment. You can go back and listen to it at your convenience. So thank
you for
that.
So what you need to do is type in the Mark Cox Morning Show, Mark with a C.
Yes.
And you will find it because we have Lisa and Diana. They're saying we can't find it. They only find Andy Fry. Type in the Mark Cox Morning Show. And Mark, since you've talked about it, we've doubled the number of people that are watching.
I appreciate that. All right. Well, we just want to let people know it's out there, and you can tune in there and watch, and it'll look better. Trust me, this is an experiment because of some technical things down here. We're going to be switching studios.
You're going to love the show tomorrow,
for the next couple of days. We have to switch studios while they do some board work in here. So it is possible, because there are limited or no cameras in that other studio, we might not be up here for the rest of the week. So today is an experiment. And then certainly by next Monday, we believe we'll be on Rumble full time. And then people will have this as an option as well. Right, Carl? Have I covered that properly?
I believe everything you've said is technically correct.
And the live picture that you see will look much, much more attractive when Kim St. Ange gets back here from her vacation on Monday, because she is off all this week taking a little R&R, and good for her. So just want to let you know that. Coming up, we're going to get to Janice Niederhofer. She is a former law enforcement member, was in the law enforcement for many years, and now does a lot of training and all of that. And here's the thing. You can call it the Ferguson effect if you want, but a lot of departments, New York City is one of the more high profile ones, have gone away from low level traffic stops, right? We see it in St. Louis County all the time. People in the city can drive around with expired tags for years, and nobody will stop them because they got a lot more important crap they have to do. But by not stopping them, how many people are getting away with other crimes they might have been investigated had they stopped them for other things? I mean, you see where I'm going here. It's a trend across the country. And we're going to talk to Janice about that coming up here at about 6:20. We're going to get to End of the News a little bit later. Todd Pyro next hour. I got Jesse Jane Duff. Of course, you know Jesse. She's normally here on Mondays. And we're going to get her in here this morning at 8:20 to talk about the Trump murder attempt that happened down in Palm Beach on Sunday. But right now, Carl Middleman, let's get to our top stories, please.
Let's do it.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
His desire to be a dictator, at least on day one, all of that is in the public record.
Yeah, she's back. Hillary Clinton live last night with Rachel Maddow, and on the heels of murder attempt number two on Donald Trump, she filled the airwaves with her hate and vitriol last night.
the tragic massacres, mass shootings, where the shooters themselves pledged in their own words in manifestos to adhere to the Great Replacement theory.
MSNBC, Nicole Wallace. I doubt if you recognize the name because her ratings are in the crapper. But she is also tying Donald Trump's rhetoric to political violence in this country. It's unbelievable.
Congressman, do you think Kamala's issued statement where she said there's no place for violence in America, or she's glad Donald Trump's safe, was that sufficient?
No.
No. No, it wasn't. Byron Donald's there last night with Laura Ingraham. It's almost been, they act like assassination attempts in this country are commonplace these days.
No one has tried to kill Kamala Harris, and two people now have tried to kill Donald Trump. I'd say that's pretty strong evidence that the left needs to tone down the rhetoric.
And cut this crap is, let me finish the sentence for J.D. Vance there. It's absolutely the truth. You know, I watched Scott Jennings, who is a regular on CNN these days, and he's like the token Republican over there. Scott Jennings, they put him on a panel with three or four extreme leftists, and then the host on CNN, who's always a leftist herself. Herself or himself, but it's many times a female host, it happens to be. And don't first form me. I'm just saying she happens to be a female host. I'm not saying that because she's a woman. It's just a fact. And Scott Jennings is always having to defend what's going on over there, whether it's Springfield, whether it's the hate on the part of the left in this country toward Donald Trump. And he pointed this out again, because CNN is guilty of it as well. They have the people on that spread the lies, like the bloodbath story. Donald Trump mentions in a speech about the economy and manufacturing that if he doesn't win, it's going to be a bloodbath. And the left takes that and says that if he doesn't win, there's going to be riots in the country and it's going to be a bloodbath, which was completely out of context with what the man said. Even Kamala Harris repeated it. And last night, Jennings had to school CNN on it. Once again,
she did not say that if Trump were elected, there would be a bloodbath. She did not say
I know you have interviewed and had people out here and have watched the same coverage I have. The bloodbath garbage is it is a pillar of the Democratic campaign against Trump, as is dictator, as is eliminate the U.S. Constitution.
Yep, it's true. It absolutely is. It's a pillar of it. They repeat it all the time. I've even got the ad to prove it. The Trump campaign is out with a new ad, and I'm glad that it hit the airwaves just in time. I'm going to play that for you coming up at the bottom of the hour. And up next, we're going to get into this story about, the defanging of law enforcement is the best way I can describe it. Taking the bite out of law enforcement, which of course is there to enforce laws and stop criminals. You kind of see the end result if you think that out logically. We're going to talk to a former member of law enforcement about that coming up next. So we just celebrated the 10-year anniversary of the Ferguson riots and the Mike Brown death, and we just had to relitigate all of that in the media here locally, and they're going to name a street after Mike Brown in downtown St. Louis. The kid that robbed a store, attacked a police officer, then got shot and killed. And we're going to name a street after him in the city of St. Louis. It's insane. But out of Ferguson came something called the Ferguson effect, which is a hesitation, I'm afraid, on the part of some law enforcement officers to act in certain situations out of fear that they're the next Darren Wilson, who had his career destroyed in Ferguson over a bunch of lies. It's a problem. It has permeated law enforcement, in my opinion, at the administrative level to where they're afraid in some cases to take certain actions. Like, for example, low-level traffic stops. In some communities, they're pretty much eliminating that. Right now, we have Janice Neiderhofer with us this morning. Spent a career in law enforcement before retiring and starting her own business. And Janice, welcome into the show. How are you?
Good morning, Mark, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you for giving me some time this morning. So what is this story, and what is the risk here, in your opinion?
Well, it's a complicated subject, so let's break it down really quick. There's a couple sides to this coin. One, historically, police officers can pull over for low-level traffic stops. And what they're doing is when they're not on a call, you know, it's good that they're out active and helping people. Hey, your lights are off. You don't have a license plate. And as you're doing that, you know, you're hopefully building rapport. Now, here's where the problem comes in. But before I address that, as you are conducting your low-level traffic stop, you are noticing what's going on in the car with all the occupants, one or multiples. And you're noticing what's going on. So, in historically, the Ted Bundys of the world, the Timothy McVeighs of the world have been caught on traffic stops. That's awesome. But the percentage on low-level traffic stops of getting a hit like that, getting an arrest like that, getting lucky and pulling a criminal like that off the street, or getting contraband or drunk driver, or drunk drivers are more common when you pull people over for things because they drive down the road without lights, right?
Right.
So that's very useful, but the percentage generally is very low. So some police departments, sheriff's departments in our country are turning to policies where you can't even pull anybody over. So I say we need to rebuild trust between law enforcement and the communities they serve. And by pulling people over, being allowed to pull people over for low-level traffic stops, but with the intention of building community relations. So Wow. Let's say you pull over a cracked windshield and you go and you address the folks. Then you give them a warning and you build rapport with them. And then while you're doing that, use your expertise to see if anything is going on, right? That's a safety factor. And then they go off happy with a warning and a really nice officer. You had a great conversation and interaction with them. Because frankly, Mark, the level of fear in this country of police officers is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if you're wearing a badge, and that's where they're getting hurt.
And it's fed in large part by false reporting on crime statistics and other things. And in Missouri, after the Ferguson effect, they signed, I think it was Senate Bill 5 or something like that, that restricted the percentage of income communities could make from traffic stops and municipal violations because they felt that some communities were using it as a source of income. And that's had some impact here. But we got crazy laws on the books now, Janice, where if a cop pulls somebody over because marijuana is recreationally legal, the smell of pot in the car is not enough for them to conduct a search, even though they shouldn't be smoking pot in the car. That's how ridiculous things have become.
Yes. And what, you know, unfortunately, things are going the far side in all different ways because police departments are lost, right?
Yes, yes.
They're lost on how to solve the roar from our communities and our civilians out there. It's really a mess on both sides, right? We're trying to do our job and do it well. The leadership in law enforcement is really trying to figure out how to please the communities. And sometimes they take it to the far side. No, they're smoking dope, but we can't, you know, check you out, make sure you're not, you know, in the old days of just being drunk, right? It was easy.
Yeah.
But now you can't pull them out in whatever city you were mentioning. You can't pull them out to determine if they're too high to drive.
To find, yeah, it's just crazy. Janice Niederhofer, I'm out of time. I appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Bye
yeah,
for now.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a good conversation. I think a lot of departments and police officers do that and try to build a little rapport when they're doing that. It's not all about stopping you and dragging you out of the car and writing you a ticket. But a lot of them are afraid to do it these days for the exact reasons that I mentioned, and that's a shame for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get to In Other News in just a couple of minutes, and we'll talk a little bit more about what Hillary Clinton said last night. We'll be back.
Americans need to understand that they have to take Trump both seriously and literally. He has said what he wants to do. He and his allies with Project 2025, his desire to be a dictator, at least on day one, all of that is in the public record.
Just so you know, that is Hillary last night. Last night, that is Hillary talking about Donald Trump being a dictator. On the heels, like a day after some nut job who's taken to heart the warnings of the left that somehow the man who served 4 years as president and left the White House the day he was supposed to will, if he gets in there again, build a fence around the White House and refuse to leave. He's going to be a dictator. Do you know that you can't be a dictator in America? You know what we do to dictators in America who threaten America? We kill them. So when you use language like that, that's what you get. That's the direct result you get. Hillary Clinton is not, she didn't just say call him a dictator. She called on the press in this country to remind people every day that Donald Trump is dangerous. What happened last night is outrageous. She should be banned from MSNBC or CNN or all of them, but they won't because they're all part of the same game. Listen.
I don't understand why it's so difficult for the press to have a consistent narrative about how dangerous Trump is. You know, the late, great journalist Harry Evans, you know, one time said that, you know, journalists should, you know, really try to achieve objectivity. And by that, he said, I mean, they should cover the object. Well, the object in this case is Donald Trump. His demagoguery, his danger to our country and the world, and stick with it, you know, and
stick with it. They need to cover his demagoguery. It's really gotten dangerous, is what it is. You know, I saw somebody share yesterday, there was a chart out a couple years ago. It's a couple years old. It's a chart that tries to show you if you're looking, how to determine the political leaning of the organization from which you choose to get your information, right? And of course, this particular chart has Fox News way over on the right and Newsmax on the extreme right and AON, it's got ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN in the middle. And this is the problem in America, is that you've all of those organizations I just mentioned, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, all of them are in the tank for the Democratic Party. There's no doubt about it. You can watch the hit job that they did on Donald Trump the other night on 60 Minutes. On the day of his attempted murder, they could have pulled that. That happened in the middle of the afternoon. They could have run a recorded 60 Minutes that didn't include a hit piece on Donald Trump, accusing him of insurrection. Accusing him of lying about what was going on January 6th, lying about the prosecution of the people in the Capitol building. There are people rotting in jail who didn't know nothing violent on January 6th. And we have been up front here because as the only member of the media in St. Louis who was in Washington on January 6th, I witnessed what happened in that crowd. 99.99% of the people were there for a rally to support Donald Trump. They didn't go into the Capitol. They didn't know anything about people going into the Capitol. Anybody that committed violence that day, I have no problem with them being charged. But when you see video, as Tucker Carlson showed us, of somebody walking through the door, looking around in a circle, and walking back out the door, and you find out that person was sentenced to 2 years in jail, you have to scratch your head and wonder what's going on. But no, 60 Minutes had to do we want to talk to the career prosecutors. This is my Scott Pelley imitation. We want to talk to the career prosecutors who serve every administration. And they've been there for years. You know what that is, Scott? That's the deep state. That's who fears Donald Trump the most. Because they are hangers-on who live off the fat of the federal government and the American tax dollars, and they don't want somebody in office who poses a threat to that. And therefore, they've tried to hang January 6th around Donald Trump's neck when he had nothing to do with that. Nothing whatsoever. He didn't encourage people to go be violent. He didn't schedule the rallies in Washington. His speech on the Ellipse was the last thing that got scheduled of the 8 or 10 rallies that were scheduled in Washington over a two-day period. That was the last one. See, we're not going to stop telling the truth on this radio show. We're not. And when I hear people like Hillary Clinton going on TV a day after Donald Trump was almost murdered for a second time and telling people that the media needs to be on board with reminding people every day of what a threat Trump poses. The only threat Donald Trump posed to Hillary Clinton is that he beat her and she can't stand it. She did her own election denial in the interview last night. Well, there was Russian interference in the 2016 election, she claims. That this is what you're dealing with on the left. They thrive on power. They do. They worship at the altar of big government. They do. And anybody that threatens to take that power away from them, their ability to take your money and spend it the way they want, anybody that threatens to let you keep more of your money is a direct threat to their power. It's why they hate Donald Trump so much. It's why they keep saying things like that, that have wackadoodles out there trying to kill him. And if you believe for a minute that somebody who is a carpenter who used to live in Hawaii, but now somehow got back into the continental United States, drove a car to Washington, D.C., found a gun, and happened to be sitting at a fence where Donald Trump randomly decided to golf the day before, you're fooling yourself. That's too much coincidence. He didn't just sit there hoping Trump would show up. He knew Trump was going to be there. How? How did he have those connections? These are questions that have to be asked about what happened on Sunday. Serious questions. Instead of interviewing people like Hillary Clinton who just want to stir the pot and maybe set off the next nut. Right? Come on. Give me a break. Coming up, we're going to get to another news with Ethan. Next hour, we'll talk to Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends first. Stay tuned.
What's happening?
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
It looks like REO Speedwagon, they have revealed the band will be retiring from touring beginning next year. In a statement shared on its social media page yesterday, REO Speedwagon said the retirement is due to irreconcilable differences between lead singer Kevin Cronin and bassist Bruce Hall. It seems that it's regarding...
Americans need to understand that they have to take Trump both seriously and literally. He has said what he wants to do. He and his allies with Project 2025, his desire to be a dictator at least on day one, all of that is in the public record.
Just so you know, that is Hillary last night. talking about Donald Trump being a dictator. On the heels, like a day after some nut job who's taken to heart the warnings of the left that somehow the man who served 4 years as president and left the White House the day he was supposed to, will, if he gets in there again, build a fence around the White House and refuse to leave. He's going to be a dictator. Do you know that you can't be a dictator in America? You know what we do to dictators in America who threaten America? We kill them. So when you use language like that, that's what you get. That's the direct result you get. Hillary Clinton is not, she didn't just say call him a dictator. She called on the press in this country to remind people every day that Donald Trump is dangerous. What happened last night is outrageous. She should be banned from MSNBC or CNN or all of them, but they won't because they're all part of the same game. Listen.
I don't understand why it's so difficult for the press to have a consistent narrative about how dangerous Trump is. You know, the late, great journalist Harry Evans you know, one time said that, you know, journalists should, you know, really try to achieve objectivity. And by that, he said, I mean, they should cover the object. Well, the object in this case is Donald Trump, his demagoguery, his danger to our country and the world, and stick with it, you know, and
stick with it. They need to cover his demagoguery. It's really gotten dangerous, is what it is. You know, I saw somebody share yesterday, there was a chart out a couple years ago. It's a couple years old. It's a chart that tries to show you, if you're looking, how to determine the political leaning of the organization from which you choose to get your information, right? And, of course, this particular chart has Fox News way over on the right and Newsmax on the extreme right and AON, it's got ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN in the middle. And this is the problem in America, is that all of those organizations I just mentioned, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, all of them are in the tank for the Democratic Party. There's no doubt about it. You can watch the hit job that they did on Donald Trump the other night on 60 Minutes. On the day of his attempted murder, they could have pulled that. That happened in the middle of the afternoon. They could have run a recorded 60 Minutes that didn't include a hit piece on Donald Trump, accusing him of insurrection. Accusing him of lying about what was going on January 6th, lying about the prosecution of the people in the Capitol building. There are people rotting in jail who didn't know nothing violent on January 6th. And we have been up front here because as the only member of the media in St. Louis who was in Washington on January 6th, I witnessed what happened in that crowd. 99.99% of the people were there for a rally to support Donald Trump. They didn't go into the Capitol. They didn't know anything about people going into the Capitol. Anybody that committed violence that day, I have no problem with it being charged. But when you see video, as Tucker Carlson showed us, of somebody walking through the door, looking around in a circle, and walking back out the door, and you find out that person was sentenced to 2 years in jail, you have to scratch your head and wonder what's going on. But no, 60 Minutes had to do we want to talk to the career prosecutors. This is my Scott Pelley imitation. We want to talk to the career prosecutors who serve every administration, and they've been there for years. You know what that is, Scott? That's the deep state. That's who fears Donald Trump the most. Because they are hangers-on who live off the fat of the federal government and the American tax dollars, and they don't want somebody in office who poses a threat to that. And therefore, they've tried to hang January 6th around Donald Trump's neck when he had nothing to do with that. Nothing whatsoever. He didn't encourage people to go be violent. He didn't schedule the rallies in Washington. His speech on the Ellipse was the last thing that got scheduled. Of the 8 or 10 rallies that were scheduled in Washington over a 2-day period, that was the last one. See, we're not going to stop telling the truth on this radio show. We're not. And when I hear people like Hillary Clinton going on TV a day after Donald Trump was almost murdered for a second time and telling people that the media needs to be on board with reminding people every day of what a threat Trump poses. The only threat Donald Trump posed to Hillary Clinton is that he beat her, and she can't stand it. She did her own election denial in the interview last night. Well, there was Russian interference in the 2016 election, she claims. This is what you're dealing with on the left. They thrive on power. They do. They worship at the altar of big government. They do. And anybody that threatens to take that power away from them, their ability to take your money and spend it the way they want, anybody that threatens to let you keep more of your money is a direct threat to their power. It's why they hate Donald Trump so much. It's why they keep saying things like that, that have wackadoodles out there trying to kill him. And if you believe for a minute that somebody who is a carpenter who used to live in Hawaii, but now somehow got back into the continental United States, drove a car to Washington, D.C., found a gun, and happened to be sitting at a fence where Donald Trump randomly decided to golf the day before, you're fooling yourself. That's too much coincidence. He didn't just sit there hoping Trump would show up. He knew Trump was going to be there. How? How did he have those connections? These are questions that have to be asked about what happened on Sunday. Serious questions, instead of interviewing people like Hillary Clinton who just want to stir the pot and maybe set off the next nut. Right? Come on. Give me a break. Coming up, we're going to get to another news with Ethan. Next hour, we'll talk to Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends first. Stay tuned.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
It looks like REO Speedwagon, they have revealed the band will be retiring from touring beginning next year. In a statement shared on its social media page yesterday, REO Speedwagon said the retirement is due to irreconcilable differences between lead singer Kevin Cronin and bassist Bruce Hall. It seems that it's regarding Hall's health. So Hall had surgery back in late 2023, and according to a November social media post, he says he's ready to tour. Cronin said he's not recovered sufficiently, so...
You know, I'm glad you're reporting that, but I heard it from a friend.
Did you? Did they hear it from a friend, too?
They did. They did. So I did. I'm just
agree
saying,
with Sue.
Thank you, Carl.
Hold on. Sorry.
There we go.
Okay, thank you, Susan. Appreciate that.
Look, yeah, not all of them can
continue,
be winners.
Please. That, I'm just saying.
I tried to read that...
The letter that they put out,
that
it was
Kevin
very
Cronin
confusing.
Put out, it said a whole bunch of nothing.
It said a whole bunch of nothing, and it said, due to irreconcilable differences, we will stop touring January 1st, 2025.
Next year.
Yeah. So are they on tour right now?
Yes. I think they have like 3 or 4 dates left in this year.
And then they're done. All right.
Yeah. The thing I saw on Yahoo cracked me up because both of them said, we're not leaving the band. So... what are we doing?
Maybe they're going to record, but not tour. I don't know.
No, they're supposed to. They're booked here for next summer over at the Shed.
Let's see.
It will be their 20th time.
But they won't be here.
But Kevin will.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Someone who probably will be retiring is Sean Diddy Combs. He was arrested yesterday in Manhattan following a grand jury indictment. Multiple outlets are reporting this. The move comes 10 months after allegations of sexual and other abuse against the music mogul. And an announcement from prosecutors that he was being investigated for sex trafficking. So he in trouble.
You know, the feds, they don't charge lightly.
No, they don't tend to play around. I'm sure he's got the best lawyers his money can buy.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens there.
You know who's reporting on this?
Todd Pyro.
Who we're going to have on in 25 minutes.
I know.
I was like, literally everyone right now is reporting.
From Fox. Yeah.
It was like, I've seen it everywhere. Okay.
So yesterday I told you about the fight of Jane's Addiction, how they started fighting on the stage. Well, the band announced the decision yesterday. Social media posts noting that they are going to be quitting the tour.
You think?
Canceling the remainder of the tour. Refunds for the canceled dates will be issued at your point of purchase. I don't know how this is going to affect our Evolution tour because they were one of the headliners. And so far, Evolution says they are, as of now, they haven't found anybody to take their place. So,
when does that start?
It's the 28th and 29th of this month.
Of this month.
Yep.
Short notice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hmm. Well, first they were canceling shows date by date. And I think you're going to hear that Perry Farrell will be in rehab very soon.
Maybe they could get REO.
Yeah.
I mean,
one last.
Who knows?
Yeah. The funny thing about that, Carl, though, Sue.
Sorry.
Dave Navarro put on his Instagram account. He put to all fans the band made the. I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong one. Jane's Addiction put out, to all fans, the bands have made the difficult decision to take some time away from the group. So then Navarro put out, due to continuing patterns of behavior and mental health difficulties of our singing Perry Farrell, we have come to the conclusion that we have no choice but to discontinue the current tour. So
signed by the rest of the band.
Yeah, he is completely putting this all on Perry.
So Perry put out his own statement, the rest of the band put out their own statement.
Yeah, going against him.
Wow. Yeah, I finally saw the video after you mentioned it yesterday. That was ugly.
Yeah,
and the bassist was the guy that saved everyone from, because Dave Navarro was just like, leave me alone, I'm trying to play guitar.
Eric Avery may have got a couple cheap shots in too, so they say.
He punched him in the stomach.
A couple times. The percentage of people buckling up nationwide reached an all-time high as 91.9% of people are actually using their seatbelt.
Good.
This is according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. If you want to know, Illinois, you are buckling up 92% of the time. Missouri, only 87% of the time. So get your seatbelts on, people.
As I can attest, in January, please wear your seatbelts.
Yeah, and it's so easy. Sorry, go ahead.
One quick one. Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is rolling through St. Louis. And if you want to see a giant wiener, head on over to Schnucks in Brentwood, Gravois, and Arsenal on September 20th and 21st. There you go.
Did you just ask me if I wanted to see it? Well, okay.
Yeah, Sue, just ignore that, please.
All right.
HR, please. All right. Coming up, Todd Pyro, and we'll get to 2A Tuesday with Mark Walters. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
It looks like REO Speedwagon, they have revealed the band will be retiring from touring beginning next year. In a statement shared on its social media page yesterday, REO Speedwagon said the retirement is due to irreconcilable differences between lead singer Kevin Cronin and bassist Bruce Hall. It seems that it's regarding Hall's health. So Hall had surgery back in late 2023, and according to a November social media post, he says he's ready to tour. Cronin said he's not recovered sufficiently, so...
You know, I'm glad you're reporting that, but I heard it from a friend.
Did you? Did they hear it from a friend, too?
They did. They did. So I did. I'm just
agree
saying,
with Sue.
Thank you, Carl.
Hold on. Sorry.
There we go.
Okay, thank you, Susan. Appreciate that.
Look, yeah, not all of them can
continue,
be winners.
Please. But that, I'm just saying.
I tried to read that media post.
The letter that they put out,
that
it was
Kevin
very
Cronin
confusing.
Put out, it said a whole bunch of nothing.
It said a whole bunch of nothing, and it said, due to irreconcilable differences, we will stop touring January 1st, 2025.
Next year.
Yeah.
So are they on tour right now?
Yes. I think they have like 3 or 4 dates left in this year.
And then they're done. All right.
Yeah. The thing I saw on Yahoo cracked me up because both of them said, we're not leaving the band. So what are we doing?
Maybe they're going to record but not tour. I don't know.
No, they're booked here for next summer over at the Shed.
Let's see.
It will be their 20th time.
But they won't be here.
But Kevin will.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Someone who probably will be retiring is Sean Diddy Combs. He was arrested yesterday in Manhattan following a grand jury indictment. Multiple outlets are reporting this. The move comes 10 months after allegations of sexual and other abuse against the music mogul and an announcement from prosecutors that he was being investigated for sex trafficking. So he in trouble.
You know, the feds, they don't charge lightly.
No, they don't tend to play around. I'm sure he's got the best lawyers his money can buy, but we'll see what happens there.
You know who's reporting on this?
Todd Pyro.
Who we're going to have on in 25 minutes.
I know.
I was like, literally everyone right now is reporting on this.
that's true, but from Fox. Yeah.
I was like, I've seen it everywhere. Okay.
So yesterday I told you about the fight of Jane's Addiction, how they started fighting on the stage. Well, the band announced the decision yesterday. Social media posts noting that they are going to be quitting the tour.
You think?
Canceling the remainder of the tour. Refunds for the canceled dates will be issued at your point of purchase. I don't know how this is going to affect our Evolution tour because they were one of the headliners. And so far, Evolution says they are, as of now, they haven't found anybody to take their place. So,
when does that start?
It's the 28th and 29th of this month.
Of this month.
Yep.
Short notice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hmm. Well, first they were canceling shows date by date. And I think you're going to hear that Perry Farrell will be in rehab very soon.
Maybe they could get REO.
Yeah.
I mean,
one last.
Who knows?
Yeah. The funny thing about that, Carl, though, Sue.
Sorry.
Dave Navarro put on his Instagram account. He put to all fans the band made the. I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong one. Jane's Addiction put out, to all fans, the bands have made the difficult decision to take some time away from the group. So then Navarro put out, due to continuing patterns of behavior and mental health difficulties of our singing Perry Farrell, we have come to the conclusion that we have no choice but to discontinue the current tour. So
signed by the rest of the band.
Yeah, I'm like, he is completely putting this all on Perry.
So Perry put out his own statement. The rest of the band put out their own statement.
Yeah, going against him.
Wow. Yeah, I finally saw the video after you mentioned it yesterday. That was ugly.
Yeah,
and the bassist was the guy that saved everyone from, because Dave Navarro was just like, leave me alone. I'm trying to play guitar.
Eric Avery may have got a couple cheap shots in too, so they say.
He punched him in the stomach.
A couple times. The percentage of people buckling up nationwide reached an all-time high as 91.9% of people are actually using their seatbelt.
Good.
This is according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. If you want to know, Illinois, you are buckling up 92% of the time. Missouri, only 87% of the time. So get your seatbelts on, people.
As I can attest, in January, please wear your seatbelts.
Yeah, and it's so easy. Sorry, go ahead.
One quick one. Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is rolling through St. Louis. And if you want to see a giant wiener, head on over to Schnucks in Brentwood, Gravois, and Arsenal on September 20th and 21st. There you go.
Did you just ask me if I wanted to see it? Well, okay.
Yeah, Sue, just ignore that, please.
All right.
HR, please. All right. Coming up, Todd Pyro, and we'll get to 2A Tuesday with Mark Walters. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.